Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. Our text comes from our intro at Ford this morning, including these words. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, last Sunday we heard that when Jesus appeared to his disciples on that first Easter Sunday evening, he gave them gifts. Three in particular we talked about. One of those, and the most important gift, was the forgiveness of sins. The disciples' sins had been forgiven through Jesus' death and resurrection. And they were to take that forgiveness out into the world to forgive others. And we hear something very similar in this morning's gospel reading. What are these apostles supposed to do? Go and preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." That is the mission of the church. That is what the church is here to tell you. Repent. That is, be sorry over those things that you've done that go against God's holy law and against his holy will. Repent of them. Vow to live a new life in accord with God's word. Receive forgiveness. Know that God does not hold your sin against you. Know that sin doesn't define how God thinks about you, but Jesus' death for your sins does. Because he suffered and rose, you have forgiveness. And when Jesus forgives, he brings all sorts of other gifts. Another one that we spoke of last week was peace. And we heard it again in the gospel reading this morning. Jesus comes to his apostles and says, "Peace to you." Jesus brings peace between you and God. You are no longer at enmity with God. God is not your enemy. He is your ally because you have the forgiveness of sins. And the last thing we spoke of last week was Jesus bringing joy or gladness to the apostles. Because faith in these promises, realizing how wretched we are and how much in need we are of God's mercy, and then receiving forgiveness, brings joy. And joy is our focus today. This Sunday in our lectionary, we find a particular emphasis on joy. Sometimes this Sunday is referred to by the Latin word jubilate, which simply means shout for joy. It comes from Psalm 66, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." And in today's introit, we are told that in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And here you sit today in the presence of the Lord. And that should bring you immense joy. We certainly saw that joy reflected in the gospel reading last week. Jesus came and he showed the disciples his hands and his side, and they rejoiced. Today is Luke's account of that same event. And we are again told that Jesus showed them his hands and his feet, and they couldn't believe it because of joy. They were so overjoyed, they must have felt like they were in a dream or something. So to prove to them that he was really alive, Jesus eats a piece of fish. Ghosts don't eat. Jesus was no ghost. but a living and breathing and eating risen Lord. Now, you may be familiar that in the Old Testament, there's a particular command or festival surrounding joy. It only happened every 49 or 50 years, depending on how you count, where God commanded the Israelites that every 7 weeks of years, which is 49 years, that a year of Jubilee was to be declared. Jubilee comes from the same word as jubilate and joy. During the year of Jubilee, certain debts, that is, certain monetary debts, were just wiped out. They were forgiven. Indentured servants would be free of their obligations every 49 years. The season of Easter is 7 weeks, 49 days, until the 50th day of Pentecost, when the disciples' joy would be made even more full as they received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The season of Easter is one of joy. Joy for a reason. Joy for many reasons. And our intro, it highlights three of those reasons that we want to think about this morning. The first is when the psalmist says these words about God. You have not let my foes rejoice over me. You see, our enemies, that is, the enemies of God, the enemies of the church, want to be joyful as well, but not for the same reasons that we do. Now, they rejoice over when things go badly with God's people. They rejoice when they look at us as fools, when they think that they've won, when they think that they're in control of the church rather than God. Think about Satan and his demons when Jesus died. They rejoiced. They saw Jesus was dead. And the enemies of God that we see in this life may also rejoice at the apparent decline of the church. And when the church teaches the doctrines of men and not the doctrines of God, Satan rejoices when he can drag an unbeliever down with him into the pit of eternal death. Satan rejoices when you and I sin. But God does not allow the joy of our enemies to persist or remain. The enemies of Jesus could only rejoice over him for 3 days. They thought they had killed him, but then he rose from the dead. And Jesus does not let your enemies rejoice over you, because your sin and the devil and even death itself have no more claim on you. They have no reason to rejoice over the people of God, because they lie defeated by Christ. The second joy theme in our intro is that we are told that God's anger is but for a moment. Our text says this: for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. We Christians know what that moment was. We know what the moment of God's anger was, that it was the cross and the unnatural darkness like night that accompanied Jesus' death. God's anger poured out on Jesus. God's wrath over sin, not Jesus' sin, but yours and mine, killed him. But God's favor, it's given to you for your whole life long. That favor is the constant forgiveness of your sins. That brings joy. Joy came in the morning of Easter. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead proves that God's anger is complete. It is over. All those who have faith in Jesus, who trust in his mercy, who live lives of repentance and faith, have God's favor. God's face shines upon you. Your debt is forgiven. The life of the Christian is a jubilee kind of life. You live now freed from sin's grasp. Indeed, there are many things in this life that will try to rob us of joy. The world, for example. Oh, our culture wants people to be happy, but the only happiness it can provide is temporary. Oh, and it's often sinful. Your own sin can rob you of joy. And then Satan likes to pile on the accusations when he sees you sin, trying to convince you that, oh, now you're standing before God is in jeopardy, that your forgiveness is in doubt. You really have no reason to be joyful. Look at you. But feelings of happiness and euphoria, these are not joy. Joy is deeper. Joy is a certain stability of heart and mind and attitude. Joy is an evenness of temperament. It is a peace and a calm and a contentment and a gladness even in the midst of adversity and suffering. It's like Paul who said, I have learned to be content in all circumstances. That's joy. We know from our confession of sins that whoever says they are without sin is a liar. We read those words this morning. Today we also heard from 1 John that the Christian does not make what John calls a practice of sinning. Do Christians sin? Yes. Do we sometimes do it on purpose? Yes. But we know it is not to be our habit. We know we are not to be those who go out seeking sin. We don't keep practicing sin as if we're practicing to try to get better and better at it. No, we lament our sin. We recognize it. And if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a joyous thing. And the last reason for joy. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sheol is kind of an interesting Hebrew word. It can mean all sorts of things related to death. It can mean the grave or death itself. Sometimes it means hell, but usually it just means the place where the dead go when they die, back into the ground. I'm not a huge fan of the term final resting place. You may have heard that. The grave is a temporary resting place. All flesh will be raised from the grave, from Sheol, on the last day. And all believers in Jesus will be raised for life, eternal life, physical, eternal life restored to you, life with God. That life has already started. Your soul has been brought up from destruction in your baptism. Your body will be brought up from the pit of the grave. And you and all believers in Christ will have life. Let the fullness of joy that will be yours in eternity shape your life now. Think about what we have to look forward to. Since such joys await us, we can shed off the pride and the arrogance and the self-centeredness that consume us even now. In light of eternity, small offenses can be overlooked. Setbacks in life are temporary. Sorrows are fleeting. Forgiveness and mercy of one another should be the norm. Live in that joy. Here again, the words from the last two stanzas of our hymn. True God, Christ first from death has burst, forth into life, all subduing. His enemy shall vanquished lie. His death has been death's undoing. And yours shall be like victory, or death and grave, said he who gave his life for us, life renewing. Let praises ring, give thanks, and bring to Christ our Lord adoration. His honor speed by word and deed to every land, every nation. So shall his love give us above, from misery and death set free, all joy and full consolation. In the name of Jesus, Christ has risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.